myself and a brand new show that I'm going to be running, a show that will be airing from Tuesday to Thursday, I would say around this time, officially at 9 o'clock, but, you know, we'll call it Jewish time, but officially 9 o'clock from 9 to 10. And the show is really takes my name. It's part of the title of the show. In fact, this particular show is my very first format of radio going back over 20 years when I was started with radio.
Go ahead.
Right now we're going to start the show as the for the very first time after 20 years. I'm reviving this show. The name of this show is called Shaul and Tell, a Torah Wellspring. My name is Rabbi Shaul Gromer, and Shaul and Tell is a play on show and tell. And the way the show operates is that we go in the order of the Aleph Beis topically. And we go topically with Aleph Beis, and Aleph being Emuna, and that's going to be the focus of tonight. Beis, tomorrow night, will be the topic of Bereishis, and we'll talk about what that means exactly. And I expect, unless I suddenly change it, because we haven't really written in stone yet, Gimel for the following night is Geula. I hope to be talking about that, those three topics this week, and we'll see what happens next week. So tonight's topic is Emunah. Now, as I go through the Aleph Beis and the different topics, and this is the format that I had, lasted about 2 years, actually, at the time, because we kind of had a few weeks for each os, for each letter. And this time we're not going to do that because I'd like to do 11 letters, meaning 11 topics, from now to the balance of the month of August, and three nights a week. Which takes us right to the end of the month. And I may have an opportunity to do one, or at least one letter twice. And we'll be able to do 11 letters, which is half the Aleph Beis. And next year, and this time, this summer, we'll be able to finish the Aleph Beis with the rest of the Otios, rest of the letters, with the other topics. So right now, I'm going to introduce this show, not only in terms of the topic, and not only in terms of the format, but also in terms of its guest. And each night we have a special guest, hopefully. If not, it'll be myself who'll be the guest. But tonight we do have a guest, and we have an interview that I've done with a very special rabbi who is a Rosh Hashiva, been a Rosh Hashiva over 30 years. His name is certainly commands a certain amount of respect. And people hear Rabbi Moshe Green, who is a Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva de Muncie, as the name implies. It's a Shiva in Muncie, Yeshiva de Muncie. And here tonight, the focus is actually going to be, believe it or not, the previous Skver Rebbe, because he was very close to him. And we're going to talk about the previous Skver Rebbe in connection to the topic of Emunah. So that's going to be coming in a little bit. But right now, before we do that, as I've done in the past, I want to talk about the topic of Emunah on my own, in my own words, and then you'll hear me doing some sort of interview with Rabbi Green in just a little bit. And I believe, and just stay with me because I can tell you that if you've never heard this show before, you'll definitely get something from this show. I've always had incredible, I have to say myself, surprising success in finding the right type of people to take these shows and discuss them. And I myself always get tremendous amount of inspiration from these interviews and these people that come on the show and the opportunity even to speak about these topics. So tonight, we're going to start with the most important topic. Everything, and that is faith, Emunah. And the truth of the matter is that even though we have 613 commandments, the Talmud tells us that we could really reduce it all down to one basic principle. It all is reduced down to that tzaddik, the righteous person, lives with his faith. This is the whole Torah in one sentence. The righteous person lives with his faith. That's the whole Torah. So obviously, if we could take the entire Torah, which is pretty complex, a lot of laws, a lot of aspects that cover all aspects of our lives and the world, and reduce it down to one principle, what the Talmud tells us, and that principle is faith. Obviously, it's something that we should be thinking about. So tonight, I want to talk about faith, and I want to talk about it, after giving it some thought, I basically came up with five basic principles, five basic ideas that surround faith and what it really represents for us. Of course, there could be more, but tonight we're going to focus on five. The first principle and the first focus that I want to make in terms of Emunah, faith, is the aspect that faith plays a constant role in our lives. That's a very basic concept. If we don't understand that concept, we don't understand faith. Faith is not a part-time job. It's not a one whimsical high that one flying in the sky with faith. No, it's a constant rhythmic presence that one has all the time. This is what the first aspect of faith. And faith is very much, in this aspect, connected to the heart. Just like the heart beats all the time, this aspect of faith, the rhythmic, constant rhythmic aspect of faith, is similar to the heart, the lave, the heart. And the heart is basic to a human being's life. If you don't have a heart, you're not alive. So of course that fits the idea that a tzaddik lives, the righteous one lives with his faith, just like a person cannot live without a heart. A person has to live with faith. That's what gives him life, just like a heart beats into a heart, into the body. Now, what does the heart beat? Blood, life force. It's interesting. I remember seeing that the temple, the Beis HaMikdash, the holy temple of the Jewish people, around for over 800 years, 800 years, think about that, 800 years between the first and the second Beis HaMikdash, is compared to the heart that pumps blood throughout the whole world. And we're missing that today. What does that represent? It represents the fact that when we had the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, this created a constant rhythmic presence of God's presence in the world of faith. All the nations, the whole world was elevated and saturated with faith in a way that we don't appreciate today. We can't even fathom even today. Incredible level of saturation of faith into the world that came by the presence of a Beis HaMikdash, a holy temple. Fortunately, both of them were destroyed due to our sins, and we pray and we hope that they come rebuilt. But this is the presence, the heart that beats blood into the whole world. And I was thinking, perhaps this is a deeper idea why we even have sacrifices. We bring animals as sacrifices, God forbid a human being, but a sacrifice of an animal, because an animal has a rhythmic aspect. You could train an animal to do things, certain things, and it just pattern of rhythmic, you know, behavior. It doesn't think too deeply. It just this, that, it doesn't have one day. You could go in a rhythmic pattern. I was working once in kashrus with goats, goat milk, and goat, and up and down, very consistent. Again and again, animal goes, can whole life could be like this. And without much, that's when an animal can have this aspect, the rhythmic aspect to their lives. We have to be that we have to take that blood of the animal, put it onto the mizbeach, the altar, as a symbol of the blood of the heart that just constantly flows. And specifically, we have to take it from an animal that is kind of just on that raw level of action. And this is where we have to take our faith. And therefore, this is why the Shema, is we say that Shema has to have kavanas halev, has to have an intention of the heart. Because the heart is really where the action is in this respect. So this is the first aspect of faith. Now, with having touched upon that, and of course there's a lot more to say on that, I'd like to also talk about the next aspect, and that is the aspect of surrender. Besides in terms of the rhythmic aspect, I forgot to mention the fact that we pray three times a day to inculcate this rhythmic aspect covering every time frame of our lives. And that's also why in the temple, Beis HaMikdash, the carbon tamid, the sacrifice they would bring every day, the daily offering, was so significant. And when that stopped, that was like a death blow to the temple, as if it was tremendous. That was like they talk about when the carbon tamid would stop them, and they were not able to bring the carbon tamid. So that's the first thing. Now, but there is another aspect, and that is surrender. And this, I remember reading from Rabbi Soloveitchik, one of our great profound thinkers, talks about this concept in connection to the Akedah, the sacrifice, which God really never intended for Yitzhak, Isaac, onto the altar. But the main question was there, the level of his faith to surrender to God and give over everything for his faith. And that's what we say, that a person, Rabbi Akiva, was waiting his whole life to be able to give his life if he had to. And that's what he was smiling while they were, literally the Romans were peeling his skin off his body as a form of torture. He was smiling because this was his total surrender to God, give over everything to God. This is an incredible incredible wholeness to connection to God. Because the more fragmented we are in our faith, the more we're not capable of being totally in this realm of surrender to God. We're always going to have one foot in, one foot out. It's going to be like this. Now, where do you see such a concept like that? You see that concept by Eliyahu, Elijah, the prophet. Tested the people. How long are you going to hop between two sides? You got to either you're going to worship God, or God forbid, worship that idol, Baal, whatever. So you have to make a complete surrender to God. That's the basic aspect in faith. It has to be complete, whole. And this is the second aspect. And when one does that, one knows it, one feels it. And that's also the same thing in a certain sense. It's sort of like, they say, like a marriage with God. Because ultimately, we're, as a result of that complete surrender to God, we create a type of relationship with God. God is with us in our lives. We're surrendering ourselves to God, and we pray to God that God should be all the time with us and completely complete with us. So this is a kind of give and take, ultimately. But really, before we focus on what God is giving to us, we give a complete surrender to God, and we don't start, people think in terms of God, well, what is God doing for me? Is he answering me? I have a question. I don't know. God, all these things. No. First, the first order of events is complete surrender to God. This is the second aspect of emunah, of faith. Now, having brought two, I'm leading now to the third. The third aspect of emunah, and I mentioned that we're going to be covering five aspects, so we're moving quickly, we're up to the third. The third aspect of emunah tonight that I want to touch upon is that emunah, when a person has faith, there's a certain unique quality to emunah, faith, that it breaks all limitations. There is nothing that limits the person when there is emunah. That's why when there's a person who dies, a father or mother dies, the son will say Kaddish for that person, which is the declaration of his faith publicly, and that elevates the soul of the parents, because it actually has an effect in the other world. It's not like there's a limitation. Even death cannot separate the impact that faith has on all worlds. And that's why in the Kaddish that's said, but mourners Kaddish by the grave, as the parent is being buried, they talk about the resurrection of the dead, which ultimately represents the fact that faith takes us to a place that there is no limitations whatsoever. And that's why when the splitting of the sea happened, Kriyas Yamsov, they said, Oz Yashir, then they will sing. In the future tense, Rashi asked, what do you mean they will sing? They sang, it should have said. Then they sang. Rashi, it's a hint to the resurrection of the dead. They will sing. Why is resurrection of the dead hinted to at that particular time? So it represents, it's like if you imagine the splitting of the sea. You have a sea, that represents limitation. We certainly can't pass a sea, a whole sea. But then you see the whole sea split. That really drives home the power of faith, that one could literally have caused through one's faith to have a sea split when it's completely impossible to imagine such a thing. And it's precisely at that time we are. So at that particular time that there's some sort of limitation, we see that their faith breaks all limitations. It simply breaks all the limitations, and it causes.
It's okay. Go ahead.
It causes this limitation to not even exist. It disappears. Completely disappears. We see many stories. I don't have all the stories to share of such things in the Holocaust, where the big tzaddikim and the chassidim and the rebbes and even the simple Jew who had faith was able to see great, great things. There's a great, beautiful story of the Blazhev Rebbe that I heard, that the Nazis had a thing that they told the Jews to, you know, to dig a big hole. And then maybe the hole existed already, I'm not sure. And they told them, okay, you have to jump over this hole, this big ditch, I mean, like a big ditch. And if you make it to the other side, you'll live. And if you don't make it to the other side, then they're going to kill them. So he was an older man, the Blazhev Rebbe, and he was there next to a man, a Jew who was like a free thinker, very secular. And they're both looking at each other, how are they going to do this? How are they going to jump across this big ditch? So the Blazhev Rebbe said, well, look, you got to do it, faith, whatever. He jumps, an old man, and he makes it to the other side. This free thinking Jew gets, has his turn, he jumps, He makes it to the other side. So the free-thinking Jew asked the big holy rabbi, how did you get to the other side? He says, I'll tell you. He says, I held on to the coattail of my father. I saw the image of my father, and I held on to that image, and I held on to his coattails, and I made it to the other side. He says, but I'd like to know. He says, you. He says, how did you get it to the other side? So the free-thinking Jew says, I'll tell you how. He says, I held on to your coattail. What he really is saying is they each pumped up the notch of their emunah, of their faith, in a way that there was no limitation. They literally transcended. And this is a tremendous power in terms of their ability. I have such a story like that I've heard personally from a Stanislav Rebbe, that he said during the Holocaust, there was him and his father sitting there, corpses all over the place, people dying left and right, and somebody brought for them a little bit of bread to eat, a little kazayis, and they were singing Shira, song on the floor, him and his father and the person who brought, each had enough for a kazayis, a little bit of bread. Another Jew walks by and he says, are you crazy? Don't you see all these people dying left and right, corpses, this, that, are you crazy? So he says he knew that this person was not going to make it, he told me. Why? He says, because he was negative. That's all he said. But truth was is that he didn't have any faith. That's what he was saying. And he didn't. He told me he died like within a day or two, whatever he said. But he says about himself, he says, me, my father, and this other person, we all outlived this. We made it through the war. And now we have a Suda Shlomo Kashat, that we have like a big feast we eat, you know, from that. So this was the third concept. So now I just want to wrap it up with two more things. And we're kind of moving on with our interview with Rabbi Moshe Green, who really is a living example of someone who personally lived a life of faith and who also connected, like I just mentioned, the book, the coattails of a big Rebbe. And he's not a free thinker, God forbid. He's a great, great Rosh Hashiva himself. So you have two great people of great stature of faith. And we'll hear about, Moshe Green talking about the Square Rebbe's father in a second. Just want to wrap it up with two more thoughts with respect to Emunah, a little original, perhaps. The fourth thought now, moving along in terms of what faith is for us. So we have two more thoughts, and then we're going to, Lloyd is motioning to me what to do. Okay. The fourth thought here is that, In the spectrum, it's a little similar to the third one, that there's no limitations, but it actually is a little different. And that is that it's the concept of stretching, the concept of empowerment, that ultimately, when a person has faith, there's a certain level of power that's given to that person that's hard to really pinpoint. It's a power to appreciate even in the deepest depth of a person's, sometimes the difficult times, that it doesn't really matter. It's going to somehow, this is all part of a deeper plan, and therefore one does not fall back into despair, into depression, and so forth. A person many times needs to turn to deeper source of emunah, of faith, and in to empower one person, to empower himself, to not simply lose it. Unfortunately, when people lose that level of empowerment, then we see terrible things happening. Terrible things. You can see people going into universities and shooting up children. We see all kinds of terrible things. A lot of that comes because of weakness that comes from a lack of this dimension that empowers and stretches the person to a level that he would never have that ability. I want to mention a gematria, like gematria. So, if you take, I was thinking about the concept of a mikvah, which also is the idea of the word tekvah, which is the idea of hope. And that's really what faith gives you, that level of hope, which is empowerment, which it is stretching beyond the difficulties. And the gematria, the numerical, numerology, the numerical value of the word mikvah, Hebrew word mikvah, is 151. And the numerical value of the word for faith is 102. So if you add 49 to 102, you get the value of mikvah. What's 49? So 49 is the days that we count when we count the Omer, from the counting of the Omer till Shavuos. And it represents the full stretch of a person to not despair, to reach it to the number 7, which is a type of completion, but go 7 sevens, which is 49.77. That's the full stretch of the person. So 49 is really stretching oneself fully and with full power, not to be despaired, not to give up, not to despair, not to fall short. 77. That's why when we count the 49 days, everybody's trying to make it. You have to, because what happens if you miss one night? You can't say the blessing. You try to make it this full stretch. Wow, I made it this year. I counted all 49 days and I made it. So this is the idea of a person stretching and making it. And what's the an act of faith leading to the receiving of the Torah at Sinai? So that's a concept. I can make it to the finish line. I could do it. I could accomplish it. I could get to the 49. So when you take 49, this 49 plus 102, it's 151, which is the numerical value of mikvah. And mikvah is that concept that even if you have the tumah, which connects to misa, with death and depression and despair, there could be a turnaround, and this could be through hope and stretching beyond. So that's the fourth concept, stretching beyond. But while I'm in the realm of gematria, I'll conclude with my fifth place of emunah, and that is also a gematria, and then we're going to wrap it up, and then we're going to then go into our next phase of the show, which is our interview, as I mentioned. The last piece of this whole picture is very profound, and I'll leave it to last of emunah, because it's not only this one thing that ties in the whole Torah, but it's this one thing that ties in the entire universe from the very beginning of creation. It all goes back to emunah, of faith. And that's why in the Kabbalah, in the mystical writings, we see this type of concept perhaps connected in this way. Because the mystical writings talk about that there was this endless light, this infinite light that God shined into the world initially, but the vessels, which was supposed to retain that light, could not retain it, and it broke. And God had to create a second pair of vessels to hold his light, which was a weaker light, but the first light was the strongest. Any vessel that holds that light of God, right, means that it has the ability to hold up to spirituality and have a certain spiritual stature and certain structure to it. It can't just be a loose thing. When we talk about faith, it can't be in a loose, kind of not defined way. The more solid one is one in one faith, and we specifically with specific actions of faith and declarations of faith and more concrete, the more it's similar to a vessel. It becomes concrete. It becomes structured. It rather just simply, there's faith, you know, like on the dollar bill, in God we trust. It's a beautiful concept, but it's not, we have to make it like a vessel, concrete. And when we do that, we become a vessel to the light of God. That shines, and that's the potential of faith that's concretized. I one time was on a Christian show that I was speaking. They gave me opportunity to speak when I was before Obama was president. At that time, I was trying to speak against Obama becoming president, and I got on a Christian station, and they gave me the opportunity to speak on syndicated in about 40 countries. And the name of that show was Faith, the number 2, and then Action. Faith to action, because we have to take the faith and put it into a concretized action, make it into a vessel. And when we make it into a vessel, then it can be a vessel of God's light. Then it can receive God's light properly. Now, if you take the numerical value of the Hebrew word for vessel, kli, it's 60. And if you take the word emunah, faith, it actually can be reduced down to the word amen, which we say after we hear a blessing. We say amen. In fact, we don't just say it. All the religions say it. The Christians, the Arabs, they all seem to be saying amen. Amen has crossed all religions. Amen, which is essentially an affirmation of this, of faith, of this particular thing. So amen is the root of emunah, of the word emunah. And amen has a numerical value as well, 91. If you take 91 plus the value of vessel, 60, you get 151 again, which is the value of mikvah, which is that which is this faith, which has hope. And then, now these are my five principles. I'm kind of moving along, and I'm finished at this point. At this point, I'd like to mention that we're going to now move to the interview that I had with Rabbi Moshe Green, and I hope you enjoy it. And this is our first show of Shaul and Tell, a Torah Wellspring, and here we go.